Okay, the boys, today's daf is daf Yud Zayin. We're starting from the bottom of Tes Zayin Amid Beis, where it says, Dorish Rav Nachman Mishum Rabbeinu Shmuel. Rabbi said, before we begin, Dorish Rav Nachman, let's remember what we learned in the Mishnah yesterday. It's a fairly lengthy Mishnah. We're not going to go through the whole thing again. We'll just touch on certain parts of the Mishnah. Where the Mishnah here on Tes Zayin Amid Beis says, about 10 lines into the wide lines, you have a Shayara, which is camping in the middle of a wilderness on Shabbos. They arrive before Shabbos. They want to be able to carry within the camp on Shabbos. So they make a makeshift machitza, either using only vertical or only horizontal means, like the Mishnah called it, of shasi or of orev. So the first example the Mishnah gave was using shloisha chavolim, zu l'malam izu, ze l'malam izeh. Three rows of chavolim, less than three tfachim in between each space, between one level of the ropes and the other, and therefore we had the benefit of lavud, like we learned in the Mishnah yesterday. But the same thing applies in the Mishnah to posts or konim, poles that you put into the ground. And again, between one post and the other, there was less than three tfachim. And that's how you surrounded the entire camp. Says our Mishnah, as long as between each post and the other there's less than three tvachim, again, we are fine. Then notice we had Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda said at the end of the Mishnah, two lines before the end, Kol mechitza she'eina shel shasi vishel arev, eina mechitza divrei Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda said that for a machitza to be called a bona fide machitza, it has to be both shasi and orev, both vertical and horizontal. Just having one of the two, no good. Poshib shat in the Mishnah is, it's no good for anybody or anything at any time. Rashi says that even for a shayara, who happened to be in somewhat desperate, difficult circumstances. They're in the middle of the wilderness. They cannot get home in time. They want to make this temporary machitza. Says Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, gunished. It doesn't work even a shiur. That's the poshib shot in the Mishnah. However, yesterday, as we were learning the Gemara, we discovered that in fact there's a stira Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda with Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. And if we go back to roughly 10, 11 lines from the bottom of the Amud, where the Mishnah, or the Gemara, initially quoted Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Ditnan kol machitza she'ena shel shasi ve'orev eina machitza, it is worth nothing. And then the Gemara says, Umi Amud Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Hachi v'tanya v'braisa, Echad yachid, v'echad she'yara, l'chavolim. No. Chavolim works. In other words, a machitza of just these ropes going around the post, that works even a yachid. Uma ben yachid ashiyara, what's the difference? Yachid noisun loy beis sosayim. If you have just a yachid on his own, and he makes such a camp, and such machitzas, even if the machitzas happen to be as large as Yankee Stadium, he only has the maximum of beis sosayim. If they're two people, shnayim, same thing. Noislam beis asayim. They can walk. Well, beis asayim is quite a considerable distance. That's 5,000 square amas. But it's not 10,000 square amas. So, you only get your beis asayim. Once it's gimel, nasa shiara, you get an upgrade. You become a shiara. And then the noislam lehem beis sheish. And now you already give them beis sheish, means not two sa'ah, but we jump to six saw. And the Rashba and the Ritva say that the same thing applies as we keep on getting more individuals. If the Shiora has four people, we get to a base Shmoina. If you have five people, you get to a base Eser. In other words, you keep on adding a base Osayim as you keep on adding individuals to your Shiora. Then Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. What do I see very clearly? Rabbi Yosef Yehuda does agree with having a machitza made only out of the orev, only out of the chavolim. Yet in our Mishnah he said, "Kol machitza she'ena shel shasi v'shel orev, eina machitza." What's going on? So we skip two lines. Am Rav Nachman v'yisem Rav Bibi Barabai le'nisucha elita lehem kol tzorchon. Ah, when it says in our Mishnah that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda holds that you cannot make a mechitza only out of shesir, only out of orev. What Rabbi Yehuda is referring to, if you want it to be a full-fledged mechitza that gives you the maximum carrying possibilities. You want to be able to carry kol tzorchon, as much as you can, as much as you want, even 10,000 amis, 20,000 amis. For that you have to have a mechitza of both shesi and arif. However, if you're willing to go and keep your carrying within base aside, or if it happens to be a shayara of three, if you're willing to go and carry up to base sheish, that's fine, that's okay. But you don't get the benefit of kol tzorchon. The Chacham, however, disagree. And that's why the Chacham say at the end of the Mishnah, Echad Mishnei Dvarim, that even if you only have one shesi or a mechitza out of arev, that's also enough. And that's what the Chacham say also in this brisa, where we skip the last two lines. The Chacham Maimim Echad Yachav Ish Cheshiyara Nois Lehen Kol Tzorchon. You give them the full Kol Tzorchon, whatever they need to carry on Shabbos, even as large as Yankee Stadium. We'll talk about that in Mitzvah on the Amud Aleph. Anyway, so now that we finished the Mishnah and the Brice and the Machloikis or the Stira between the two Rabbi Yosef and Yehuda, we have concluded that according to Rabbi Yosef and Yehuda, if you have such a Mechitza Gerua of either only Shesi or Arev, what do? You give the person, a single person, base assign, two people, base assign, three people, it's a shiara, and you get base sheish. Well, according to Rabbanan, already from the first time, even if there's only one individual, you get kol tzorchon, whatever you want. So now, Dorish of Nachman, Mishim Rabbeinu Shmuel, Yochid noisen loy base assign, base noisen loy base assign, gimul nas a shiara, venois lehem base sheish. Now, the words that we have just read, a word for word, what the Gemara said is the halacha according to Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda. After we asked the Stira Mishnah on Braisa, we said Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda really holds that yes, a machitza grua works. It doesn't work perfectly, but it works to go and give a base asayim, three people a shiara, base sheish, and that's exactly how Rav Nachman is paskening b'shem Rabbeinu Shmuel. And the Gemara asks, how is this possible? Shavkis Rabbanu Biavdik Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. There's a machloikas over here. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is only one person. It's a yachid v'rabim. Shouldn't we say halacha k'rabim like the Rabbanan? And the Rabbanan say in our Mishnah that this machitza gerua of only shesi orev is perfect. And oisin kol tzorchon, say one individual, say 1,000 individuals, it makes absolutely no difference. It is a good mechitza. And you're passing the Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Hodo oikim Rav Nachman amoyer alei v'dorash. Rav Nachman, in fact, changed his mind. And he said, Rabbi Isai, Dvorim shemart lefneichem tois hein biyodi. So really you learn one beautiful thing about Rav Nachman, that Rav Nachman was not afraid to say, I made a mistake. Now Rav Nachman wasn't just a private individual. Rav Nachman was the son-in-law of the Reish Galusa. So he had not only a rabbinical position of great authority, but also a political position. But he was not afraid to say, Oide v'loi voish. I made a mistake, I acknowledge my mistake, and we go on. Okay, so, Barum kach omru, rather, what is the halacha? Yochid noisen loi, beis asayim. Shnayim noisen lehen, beis asayim. Now even that is not pure Rabbanan, because according to Rabbanan in our Mishnah, they said Echad Mishnei Dvarim, meaning that as long as the mechitz is made out of shasi or made out of arev, Noislehen Kol Tzorchon. So what is this business about base assigned to one, base assigned for two, three get Sheyara and they give Kol Tzorchon? The Reisha starts off like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, that if you have this machitza gerua, you only get base asayim, two people base asayim. According to Rabbanan, you get kol tzorchon immediately. The Sefer is like the Rabbanan, because according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, when you get three together, it's a sheyara, then you get a base sheish, six sa'ah. But according to Rabbanan, you get called Tzarcha. So the psak of Rav Nachman is really a hybrid psak, where he's saying about this type of machitza gerua, inferior machitza, that the first two base aside. Rabbanan say no, you get called Tzarcha. I don't care, Rabbanan. I pass the Bishop Yehuda. And now if it's for three, it's a Shayara, it gets upgraded, called Tzarcha. That's not what Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says that you get a Beis Shesh. So now we're passing like the Rabbanan. So Frank Gemara, Rav Nachman is passing the first half, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, the second part, Rabbanan. Everyone, and yes, Mishim Nekoyav Ua Bishitzei, because his father, meaning Rabbi Yehuda, agrees to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. What means that he agrees? So we had Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah yesterday. And Rabbi Yehuda said that the halacha of this machitza gerua only helps for shayara. And there too we asked the stira in the Gemara yesterday, Rabbi Yehuda on Rabbi Yehuda from a braisa. And there too the Gemara answered, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the first time and the second time, meaning the first person and the second person, they get the benefit of a base sasayim. Once you have three people, it becomes a shiara, and then noisen loy called tzarcha, noisen lehen called tzarcha. And so therefore, really what Rav Nachman Omer Shmuel is doing, he's paskening like Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore our Gemara is saying, Mishum dekoyavu b'chitzei, his father agrees to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi says that what do we mean that his father agrees with him? Then the first part, meaning the reisha, if you only have one person or two people, Zochtach Rabbi Yehuda, just like his son, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, you only get the benefit of a beis asayim. So therefore, says Rashi, it's no longer Yochid v'rabim, it's now a Rabin v'rabim. Because Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is not there all on his own, he's together with his father, Rabbi Yehuda. So, it's no longer a yachid. We already have two. On the other hand, when it comes to the din of three or more, then Rabbi Yehuda sides with the Rabbanan, that you get called Tzarchan. So Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is out there on his own, against his own father and against the Rabbanan generally. And so therefore, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda in the Sefer, we paskin like the Rabbanon. Okay, so anyway, yes, Darius, you have a question.
Why? It seems like it goes proportional, it goes from two on.
Right.
Two Sasayim, three sets. Why is one and two locked into a Sasayim? What? Is there any sense to that? That two people... It's not proportionate in a linear way?
No, that question bothered me as well. That is, since when you get to three, then you keep on giving each one another base asayim, three they get six, and four they get eight, and five people they get ten, etc. Why don't you say by two yechidim that they get four sa instead of two sa? I don't know the reason why. I can only suspect that the reason is because until you reach the upgrade of Shiara, then the maximum you get is Beis Asayim. So whether it's one person or two people, theoretically if you had more, but the answer is once you hit three, you get that automatic upgrade. So anything less than the Shiara, then you stay at Beis Asayim and nothing more, whether it's one or
two. The other thing that bothers me is that we're saying that Yachid Barabim Halacha Karabim.
Right.
But it's not so. But we know there's a Rabban opposite Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. It's not Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda and one anonymous Tana Kama. Suddenly, it's two against many, and we're saying, well, now it's not Yachid Rabban. It's still, it's still not a majority. Why are we saying that if it's Rabbi Yehuda and it's Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, then suddenly it's not Yachid Rabban? Okay, it's not Yachid Rabban. It's 1,000 against two instead of 1,000 against one. Why does that change the vote? It's still the governor.
I hear you loud and clear. The only question is, we don't know how many Rabbanan there are over here. Rabbanan by definition means Miyad Rabban Shnayim, there gotta be two. But whether they're two or 1,000, we don't really know. Apparently from our Gemara, it appears that it wasn't 1,000, it was closer to the two number. And so therefore, once you have Rabbi Yosef Yehuda and somebody else with them, it's no longer Yochid Rabban, it's already Rabban V'Rabban. Once the Rabban, then Rabbi Nachman has the right to use his rabbinical discretion to decide, in this case I like this Rabban, in the other case I like the other Rabban. Anyway, back to the Gemara, Amar Gilo Marav. Shloisha b'chomesh asurin b'sheva mutarim. Rav Gimel Marav is saying is that sometimes you could have three people which have the status of a shiara, but if you've given them five sa'ol together, it's aser. Even though we just paskined that if you have three people, they're entitled to get kol tzarchan. Nevertheless, there are times when three people, even if they only have five sa'a, it's aser. On the other hand, there are times that you have three people, and they have sheva, they have seven, and that's mutter. Even according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, that holds that you normally only get a maximum of six. Nevertheless, sometimes seven is mutter. And the Gemara is wondering, how could that be? Three people, five so you're saying is also to go and carry. Same three people, if there's seven so it's mutter. Amrulei, so they said to Rav Gidl, Amr Rav Achi, Rav Gidl repeated this in the name of Rav, and they said, Rav Gidl, did Rav really say something like that? That sounds so strange. Amrulehu, yes, Oiraisa Nevi Uksivi, di Amr Rav Achi. Oiraisa Nevi Uksivi, of course, means the whole Tanakh. And Rashi says, that's a Lashon Shvua. I'm willing to go and swear in the name of the entire Tanakh that that's what Rav said. Oh, but it doesn't answer what's Pshat. So Omer Vashi, my Kasha, I don't understand what's so difficult that we needed Rav Gidl to go and swear not on one Bible, on a stack of Bibles, on the entire Tanakh. Dilma Hakik Omar, says Rav Ashi, I'll explain to you what Rav probably meant. Hutzrichu l'sheish ve'kifoy b'sheva afilu b'sheva mutarin. What Rav Ashi is doing is he's focusing on those words which we kind of glossed over, that the Rabbanan said yesterday, ubavad shelo yehei beis sosayim ponui. You cannot have that two saw are empty. Now what means that they're empty? Empty means that they're not being used. If they're not being used, don't make a huge machitza to go and enclose an area in the camp which is not being used. Only go and enclose an area which is being used by the B'nai Shiyarim. So therefore, if you had three people, and each one only needed to go and carry within his base society, so the three together only needed base sheish, they kifoy b'sheva, and we gave them another sa'ah, and therefore they have now a little bit more leeway, not just the minimum, but they have more, even sheva. So afilu b'sheva mutar, then they can even use seven, and it's not a problem. Why? Because you didn't hit eight. And in fact, the Mefarshim say that even till 7.9 is okay, because the key is, according to Rabbanu Shlomo, you had base sosayim pona. You don't want a full two saw not being utilized. So over here we only have one saw not being utilized because they're only using six. And we added a camp, an encampment of seven, but that's fine because it's only one additional saw. Loi hutzrichu, on the other hand, lihutzrichu el lechamesh, if they only needed five, you have three people, they only needed five. Now the truth of the matter is, according to Rabbanan, you have kol tzarchan. Even according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, you get up to six. But that's only if you're using it. If you're not using lehutzrichu el lechamesh, these three people didn't have so many possessions that they took with them in the shiara, and therefore they only needed to mishtamesh and to carry five so altogether. They keep them b'sheva, but again they made an encampment mechitzis for seven so. Afilu b'chamesh asurin, even in five they are asur. Because this is very, very important, that even though the Chacham say that once you make an encampment with machitzes, you have kol tzarchan, the kol tzarchan means whatever you need. And if you only need five, and you made this huge camp of seven, no good. Like the Rabbanan said, shalei yehei beis sosayim ponei. Here I have beis sosayim ponei, because from five to seven, nobody's using those additional two. So, therefore, it's dead space, if you will, and that disqualifies this type of machitza gerur. Zakti mor ben hadik tani ubavachli hay base sasayin ponui. My love ponui me odam. We are trying to interpret the words Shleihei Beis Sasayin Ponim, doesn't it mean that it shouldn't be Ponim Me'odam? What do we mean Shei Ponim Me'odam? So let's look at the Rashi. Rashi is 3-4 lines higher. Ma'ila Ponim Me'odam ki goin Shloisha Shekifu Chesoin. He had 3, and we give them 8 Tzoin. Remember that 3 are entitled to 6. Even according to Yosef of Yehuda, you give them upgrade 6. And you makif it for 8. Dechiyahavis, the cholchad, beis asayim. Even after allocating to each one of the 3 a beis asayim, a katiposhalahu, beis asayim ponui, b'lei balam. Then we still have 2 extra, which are not being used. Avul zayim loy. If you only have 7, that's okay. Why is it okay? The chiyav is based the same with cholchad loy poshli elachad beiso beloy balim. Then you're only left with 1, and therefore what the Gemara is asking is, I don't understand. You told me in this second case that the hotzruchu el chomesh the kifu b'sheva. Why do you say the hotzruchu el chomesh? If you have 3 people, aren't they automatically entitled to 6? And therefore, when it's Hekifo Sheva, it's only 1 more, not 2 more. It's taka true that they didn't need the full 6, but they get an automatic entitlement to 6. So, Frank Timor, isn't that what the Chama meant, that Shloihei Beis Asayim Ponui, the Ponui Odom, that you go and first do your arithmetic calculation, how many people there are? You multiply that by base assigned to give you 6, and now make sure that you don't have an extra 2. So if you only have an extra 1, you're fine. Empty more loy, poni mekelu, but a chum sechle, a base assigned poni means that they have no need for his stamshus of kelim, of carrying any kelim. Next Rashi, loy poni mekelu. Kalaimar, sheyesh ben amachitz's base assigned poni, shloy ha yutzrichen loy. They didn't need that space. The avagav the isnu shloisha, even though there are 3 people and you said they're entitled to at least 6, according to Yosef of Yehuda, and according to the Chacham, they're entitled to called Tzarchan, but the ain't Tzarichan el lebeis asayim. What happens if all 3 of them only needed 1 beis asayim? They're not walking around a lot, they're not carrying a lot. Remember, this is a caravan. People don't take everything plus the kitchen sink. They only took whatever they needed for a few days, a week, whatever. And now it's towards the end of the trip. There's not much left. They only needed a total area of base assigned for all 3. If they keep a dalit soin, if they made it 4, nami batli machitzas. Even in that case, the machitzas would be bottled. Unbelievable. It's a shiara. 3 people entitled at least to 6, according to the Chacham called Tzarchan, says Rashi in explaining the Gemara, that it has to be that they're using the space. If they're not using it, if you don't use it, you lose it. Here you lose the entire encampment, the entire mechitzas. That's what we're learning from the din of Shleihei, Beis Asayim, Ponim Mikim. Fine. From here it goes much easier, Rabbi Yisai. Put 2 dots. Itmar. Shloishu meisechem lehen. Shnai metoisvu aleihen. What's the din? Again, we start off Shabbos Kodesh, Baruch Hashem. We started off with a camp of a Sheyora of 3. So we're entitled to Kol Tzarchon. We're entitled to Beis Sheish. And guess what happens? Unfortunately, 1 person died, Nebuch Rachman Litzlon, over Shabbos. So now we're down to 2. Does that mean that now, for instance, Shabbos morning, when I discovered that one of the people passed away, and now we only have 2 people, does that now reduce the space of the camp only to 2 base assignment, or 1 base assignment, like Barry pointed out before, 1 base assignment for 2 people, and therefore we now lose the machitzas because we don't need them. We don't need such wide machitzas, only 2 people left. Or it could be the other way around. We started off with 2 people, and now we have 1 extra person that has been added to the camp on Shabbos, and he now joins. Would we have now the benefit of the machitzas? Meaning, what happens if they had machitzas? There was a place, mokim ponui from kelim of 2 saw. Therefore, the people could not use the machitzas until now. But good news, somebody else arrived on the scene, and he can use it, and therefore, Baruch Hashem, do we now reinstate these machitzas on Shabbos? So, clear-cut shaila. Do you look at what the story was Friday night when Shabbos started, or do you look throughout Shabbos, what's the status at that moment? Ravuna Rav Yitzchak Chad Omer Shabbos Geremes. One says, look at the beginning of Shabbos, at the time of the beginning of Shabbos, there were three. According to Rabbanan, it's a Shiora, you get Kol Tzarchan. Even if somebody died later on, it makes no difference, you get Kol Tzarchan. Masha Enkein, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, you look at the status at that time. If there were three before, but only down to two people now, okay, so then you lose the benefit of Kol Tzarchan, you have to go only a base Sasayim. So that's the Shalom. Like, I say go, I mean to carry base Sasayim. So Chad Omer Shabbos Geremes, Chad Omer Diurin Garmin. Diurin Garmin means how many people are in the camp. Is it one or two or three? So tomorrow...
Are we saying that if a person passes away, that the space now reduces, or the chizit are bundled, they can't carry it all? Like, I understand if somebody new comes in, it changes. But if somebody passes away, which it seems more of a likely thing, what happens? So we have three people, we have an enclosure, we have chizits, everyone's allowed to carry, and we wake up Shabbos morning, somebody passed away in the middle of the night. What are we saying is happening? What's the question? Are we allowed to carry it all? Have we reduced our radius of space? If so, how do we measure that something?
Okay. Izok Zegut. Let's go back to the bottom of Tes Zayin Amid Beis. How did Rav Nachman paskin the last two lines? Barom kach omru, yochid beis asayim, shnayim beis asayim, shloy shenasa shiorem, and oislein kol tzarchan. So until now he gave them all kol tzarchan because he had three. What happens if we only have now two left over? Would we now restrict the mechitzis and say that the people can only carry beis asayim and not more? That would be one way of learning. Another way of learning would be that as a result of the fact that he only had two people, we no longer need all of the space that's between these machitzes, and therefore, if it's now going to be ponui mikelim, that nobody's using the third thousand or the third beisa, it's possible that the machitzes would just collapse on their own halachically, because we said it has to be ponui mibeis asayim. So it depends on whether the two remaining individuals still have hishtamshus, they still have the ability to go and use the entire enclosure. So we're saying that if we say that the halacha is that it's not Shabbos Geremes, but Zirin Garmin, we look at how many people we have at that time, so we could either say that they only get a base Sasayim, but at least it works for the base Sasayim. On the other hand, we could also say that since until now they had Kol Tzarchan, if they no longer need Kol Tzarchan, and we have now an additional base Sasayim of space which has been enclosed, it could be that the whole machitza would fall away. So it depends on what the needs are of those two remaining individuals, whether we would give them a continued base assignment, but only base assignment, nothing more, or do we say that they no longer need the additional base assignment, and then the machitzas would not be good at all because of the fact, shlo yehei ponui mikelim. But that's all if you're going based on the Urim. If you're going based on Shabbos, whatever it was at the beginning of Shabbos, that remains until the end of Shabbos. So now, there's a machloek between Rav Huna.
How do you decide what part of the encampment that you restrict? If you're restricting it, you say you have the machitzas surrounding, you've got three bases, Sayim.
Wherever they happen to be when the decision is made that they only have a base Sayim, from that point on, they'll only be able to go and carry a base Sayim.
But who marks that those boundaries?
The rabbi that's in charge of the camp.
So they make then an imaginary line and say, this is it. We just know that by this tree to the right 2 feet, this is it.
How do you measure base Sayim? Is it straight ahead? I mean, we're focusing now on a case of, unfortunately, a tragedy. Someone passed away. Let's talk about a regular individual. Regular individual went and he decided for Shabbos he wants to go make his own camp for one person, and he puts up these machitzas, which are machitzas gruois, either vertical or horizontal. And the encampment happens to be three so'a big. he's only allowed to go and carry Beis Asayim, said Rav Nachman b'shem Shmuel. So tell me, how do we figure out which Beis Asayim in these three so'a he's allowed to go and carry? Is he going to the right, to the left, to the front, to the back? Our Gemara doesn't go into that. We would have to look up the Mefarshim or the Poskim, Halacha Lamaisa. How do you choose your Beis Asayim? Do you go and say, wherever he's sitting, straight ahead, Beis Asayim? Or do you say he has to the right? Do you say he has to the left? Do you go and combine the back of him, the front of him? Our Gemara doesn't go into it. So this question is not just in this instance where someone passed away. Every time you can ask the same question, how do you measure the Beis Asayim for carrying purposes? But getting back to our Gemara.
Normally you would have, you'd mark it out, and you'd say this is 50 by, 50, or 100 by 100, which would be Beis Asayim.
100 by 50 would be Beis Asayim. 50 by 50 is a saw. 50 by 100
right,
is a saw.
50, right, like the Mishkan. Okay, so you're putting ropes around that.
You could minimize it and make a Beis Asayim, but the person is entitled to go and make an encampment up to, if it's one individual, up to 3.9 saw, and use Beis Asayim in that 3.9 saw. Why do I say 3.9? Because once you hit 4, then you have a mokum ponui of Beis Asayim, which you cannot be mishtamish, and that would invalidate the entire mechitza. So every time he has 3.9, you're right, he should have just made a small little one. Maybe he expected some guests to come into his camp, and at the last moment they all cancelled. He's all by himself, he has 3.9, he can carry a Beis Asayim within the 3.9. So getting back to Agmar, Sazokti Maris, we have a machlok zafun of Rabbi Yitzchak, whether you hold Shabbos Kerames or Diurin Garmin. So, Timur, this time the Rav Huna, who the Yom Shabbos Kerames, let's bring a right. The Rav Huna is the one that says, let's look at what the story was at the beginning of Shabbos, the Yom Rabbah. Boy Mei Rav Huna. Oh, the same Rav Huna that we just talked about. They asked Rav Huna the following Shaila. And they also asked Boy Mei Rav Yehuda. Irev Derech Pesach, V'nistam HaPesach, Derech HaChaloin, V'nistam HaChaloin Mahu. You have two Chatzeres, one next to each other. And you've decided that you want to be ma'ar of the two chatzeros so that people can go and carry on Shabbos from chatzer A to chatzer B and from chatzer B to chatzer A. What was the connecting link between the two chatzeros? Either a large window or a pesach or a doorway. And guess what? During Shabbos, unfortunately, it got stuffed up. How did it get stuffed up? There was some major hurricane or storm and blew a whole bunch of debris. And guess what? You cannot go now through the door or through the chalai. So the question is, are you still able to go and carry from one to the other? Now, how would you be able to carry one to the other if the door or the chalai is closed? Maybe it's only closed for the purposes of being able to walk through. Maybe you can still pass something through. Anyway, the Omali, Shabbos, Hoyl, V'Hutra, Hutra. It makes no difference that the Pesach chalai now happens to be sealed. The important thing is that at the beginning of Shabbos, you were able to go and carry. The heter of carrying continues on, regardless of the subsequent circumstances. Oh, so that sounds very much like the case that we had before. Baruch Hashem, we didn't have to have anyone pass away to be able to go and establish the premise of the Gemara's question. But here too, there was an intervening new circumstance on Shabbos, and we say we ignore that. Shabbos, hutra, hutra. It's this time of Guteraya that Rav Huna is the one that says we base it on Shabbos and not on Diurim. And now the Gemara says, I have a similar machlok. Islam Rav Huna Rav Yitzchak, that looked at Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, Kamiflegi. Let us say that the machlok Rav Huna Rav Yitzchak is the same as the machlok is Tanoim of Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. Did not. Here you have a different situation. Not that you had this tidal wind that blew debris and sealed off the doorway or the window, but to the contrary. We had a chotzer that previously had four proper walls, or we had a bias or a movoy, and guess what happened? And now we had a major storm, and the storm uprooted a couple of the walls of the chotzer. Chotzer shen nifritza mishtei ruchaseya. Two sides, nebuch, the wall came tumbling down, or at least there was a major pirtza in the world. And the same thing happened to the house, Nebuch. Or the same thing happened with the Mavui Sosum that it had until now, Akoyim Mitalechi, and all of that was blown away. Question is, can you still carry in this Chotzer and this Bayis and this Mavui on Shabbos when all the Mechitzas that you were relying on, unfortunately, are now damaged? Zokta Tanekama Mutar Loise Shabbos. As long as it was good on Friday afternoon, it remains good for the entire Shabbos. Vasurin Li Osad Lovai. But you cannot rely on this for next Shabbos. By next Shabbos, you better fix it. For this Shabbos, since Shabbos started off and you're okay, you can continue on for Shabbos. Then review. Oh, this sounds very much like Rav Huna that said that Shabbos is the Goreng. Rabbi Yossi says, "In mutar lo isa Shabbos, mutar lo asul lovei. In asul lo asul lovei, asul lo isa Shabbos." Rabbi Yossi says, "No such thing. If this is a good machitza for now, it's a good machitza for next Shabbos. If it's not a good machitza for next Shabbos, it's not a good machitza for now. It's one or the other. You can't go and split it and say this Shabbos is good, next Shabbos is no good." Okay, so what does Rabbi Yossi really hold then? Says Rashi, Rabbi Yossi holds that it's not good next Shabbos, so it's not good this Shabbos. Unfortunately, if the Lechi and Kaidah were blown away, no good. Oh, so you see that Yossi doesn't rely on what happened at the outset of Shabbos. He says throughout the Shabbos, you have to go and keep on taking a snapshot, take a picture of what's going on now at this moment. Oh, so that's the same thing, Lechoyd, as the case of the Diurim. That although there were three people initially at the beginning of Shabbos, we're down to two, so we lose the benefit of the Kol Tzarchan. We're now down to the Beis Asayim. Says the Gemara, Leim Rav Huna D'Yomar K'Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Yitzchak D'Yomar K'Rabbi Yosi. L'chayra, the Gemara is right. Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, although they're talking about different fact patterns, Rav Huna is talking about Nebuch, a person passed away. Rav Yehuda is talking about the Nebuch parts of the Mechitza passed away or fell away. But both of them say, go after the beginning of Shabbos. And Yitzchak holds like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yitzchak that said, if someone passed away, we're down to two people, we're down to Beis Asayim, is like Rabbi Yossi that says in this Mishnah, that if at the beginning of Shabbos you had proper Mechitzas, but they fell away. And now, unfortunately, we're stuck, you can't carry. So the two different Machlokes are the same. Says Imam Rav Huna, I know the Amr of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Huna says, I can even go with Rabbi Yossi. I, Rav Huna, that says that normally you look at what the status was at the beginning of Shabbos, I can all like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that if the walls fell down, you still are osur to carry on Shabbos. Why? Because that kind of come Rabbi Yossi Hosam Ela Delesno Lemachitzos. Rabbi Yossi says that you no longer have the walls of the Chotzer or of the bias. You no longer have the lechi, you no longer have the kaira. No, if you don't have these things, you cannot carry. I'm very sorry, you don't have the basic minimums for the physical structure, you don't have the machitzas. Hach, in my case, says Rav Huna, it's taka true that someone passed away, but islam machitzas, but as far as the encampment and the machitzas, nothing has changed. And just like the mechitzas were good on Erev Shabbos, so now they're good on Shabbos. It's unfortunate someone passed away, but the mechitzas remained intact. And therefore, Rav Huna says, I can shtim with Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yitzchak says the other way around. Rabbi Yitzchak, Oman, the Amri, Ephel, Rabbi Yehuda. Again, Rabbi Yitzchak is the one that looks at the diurin and says, I can go even contra Rabbi Yehuda that says that if the mechitzas or the lechi, the kaira were blown away, it's still kosher on Shabbos. Says Rabbi Yitzchak, I'm kind of coming to Rabbi Yehuda Hossam el the Isnahu the Diurin. The reason why Rabbi Yehuda says that you can continue carrying on Shabbos even though no lechi, no koira, no walls, things have been blown away, is because at least vis-a-vis the people, they're all the same. Nothing has changed. Hachavin, in my case, says Rabbi Yitzchak, when we're talking about that Nebuch, a person passed away, less than the diurin, that undermines the ability to be able to go and carry within these machitzas because I no longer have three to give you kol tzarchan. I only have one or two that gives you a base of sayin. So, even though you got your machitzas, but you don't have your diurin. So, to use one of Barry's famous expressions, the machlokes over here is, what do we focus on? Are we focusing on the Gavra, or are we focusing on the Chavtza? And therefore, when we started off, the Rav Huna says, I can hold even according to Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi says, less than the Mechitzais. We are missing the chevtze. Hoch is the mechitzes, even though the gavra passed away, but the chevtze is here. The mechitzes is still standing. Therefore, you can go and carry. Rabbi Yitzchak says the other way around. He says the mechitzes may have fallen away, but I got my diura and I got my gavras. As long as they have my gavras, you can continue carrying the entire shas. Anyway, all the Gemara is saying is the two machloikisin could be the same, but not necessarily. I can find fundamental differences and therefore be able to challenge the assumption that the two are one and the same. If we go back to our Mishnah for a short moment, we had two times the Chachamim Oimrim, back on Tes Zayin Amud Beis. We had the fourth line of the Mishnah, the fifth line of the Mishnah, where Rabbi Yehuda said, B'shiyora Dibru, that the halacha of our Mishnah about this Mechitza Gerua of only Shesi or Oreg only works by Shiyara. The Chachamim Oimrim, Leidim B'shiyora, Ela B'hoive. The Shiara was only thrown out as an example. But the truth of the matter is, this applies even to a private individual who's not traveling, no caravan. You want to go make a machitza just out of chassis or arevs, that's fine, it works perfectly. And then we had Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, and then again the Chomayman, Echad Mishnei Dvarim. Either chassis or arev, either one works perfect. So we have two Chachams in the Mishnah, each one of saying that you can go and use a machitza grua even on a personal level, even if you don't have a shayar. Freit Yimara, Hayinu Tana Kama, the two chachomim are the same. To wake him, and now you yochid be yishuv. Ah, the machloikis will be yochid be yishuv. Meaning that even one of the chachomim, when they say that yochid can also be mishtamish with such a machitza, maybe it's a yochid Dumya de Shayara. What means Dumya de Shayara? Just like the Shayara got stuck somewhere in Never Never Land, and they're not going to be able to come home until after Shabbos. So the Chachamim said, okay, you can go and make these machitzas gruais of only Shesi, only of Orei. Same thing applies to a single individual, or to two people, even they're not a Shayara. One or two people also got stuck. They can do the same thing. But what about if you have a Yochid who is conveniently located at home and he hasn't traveled away from home in the last 20 years. And he also wants to make a machitza grua around his property, only of chassis or only of arevs. Would we say there too that the chachamim allow you to go and make such a machitza grua? Those is the machlekes between the two chachamim. How broad do we say that it's not only sheyara, but it's also for a yochid? Look at the last Rashi before the Mishnah, which is 7-8 lines before the wide lines. Ikimanai Yochid Mishishah. The Tanakama Dika Omar. Tanakama means the first Chacham. That they said, Loidibashir al-Bahoidha, Uloilam Yochid Nami Mutter, Yochid Domir de Shiara, Dibederech Veloi Biyishav. Why? How the Yochid Lasid Machitza Hagenis? If he's at home, let him make a proper Machitza. Why should he go and rely on these inferior second-class machitzas? If you're traveling, say the Chachamim, you have the same status like the Shiara people, that you can go and make such an incomplete or such a machitza grua. But only if you're traveling. Rabban Basroya Milton of Yosef Yehuda Kamahadri Dikomer Eel, Eina Machitza, Loi Bedera Fuloi Biyishuv. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says it's zero, regardless, Shiara, Yishuv, one person, 12 people. Family Rabban on Echa Mishnei Dvorim, Oishesi, Ore Machitzi, Echad Yochid, Echad Rabbim, Bein Bedera, Bein Biyishuv. You can always use a Machitza even though it is not Shesiv Arev. One-sided machitza, in other words, either vertical or horizontal, is enough, regardless one person, and regardless whether he's traveling or at home. Fine. Now, since we spoke, yes, anybody, Brother Shai.
This is Shesi Ve'erav. To me, it's already a wall. I mean, is there a certain amount of space in between it that distinguishes it? You have a woven fabric almost.
Here we're talking about Echad Shesi Ve'Echad Arev. Means that it's only one of the two. If it's right. A proper wall, Shesi Ve'erav, then it works everywhere, universally, the whole world. Whether you're traveling, whether you're a Yochid, whether you're a million people, that's a proper Mechitza of Shesi Ve'erav. Our Mishnah is talking about if you only have Shesi, or only have Arev, can you go and use that type of machitza grua? That would be chacham. We have now machlokes the chacham. First chacham say, yes, a yochid can use it, but only if he's traveling. If he's home, he should make sure to have a proper crisscross machitza of shesed erev. And the second chacham say, makes no difference. Even if he's at home, as long as it's halachically permissible, you have less than three tvachim between chevel v'chevel, or less than three tvachim between the different posts, kusha v'yusha, lechachila, no problem.
Well, so when it says kol mechitza she'ena shoshesi ve'erav ena mechitza,
right,
it's just saying that you need a wall. Then it's saying that is that what the Mishnah is saying?
You could Rabbi Yehuda kol mechitza she'ena shoshesi vishal arev. If it's not a mechitza that composed of both shesi and arev, if it's only one of the two, ena mechitza. Right. But if it's both shesi ve'erav, then that's fine.
It's a regular wall.
It's a wall. Exactly. It's a wall. It's a fence. It doesn't have to be a fancy schmancy Mexican wall that costs $50 billion. You can have a whole bunch of shtekelach, a whole bunch of posts. Just make sure that around the posts, just like you have the posts which are vertical, make sure that you have now a crisscrossing of other reeds or other bark or of chavolim or whatever to go and have both the vertical and the horizontal.
So there's no kula there that he's giving.
Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is in our Mishnah very, very negative. If it's not Shesiv Erev, it's worthless. In the Braisa, however, we said in the Gemara, it's not 100% accurate. It just means that you don't get Kol Tzorcha. But even if you have only one person or two people, you still get the benefit of the base society. Okay? But we weren't focusing on Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, we're focusing on the two Chachamims. That we had, the first Chacham said, Le'idir b'shiyara ela b'hoiva, so therefore even one or two people. And the Chacham said, Echem mishnei dvarim, one of the two, either Shesi or Arev, work. So that the two Chachamims are in sync with one another. Says Imar, there is a difference between the two, if it's a Yochid b'yishuv, where the first Chacham would say it does not work, it's only a Yochid b'shiyara circumstances, a echad that is traveling, and according to the second chacham, I mean echad b'yishev also works.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Anyway, we start the next mission. The next mission does not focus on any of the halachas that we've been talking about, but rather is talking about other people that are not at home because of difficult circumstances. What are the rules? So says the Mishnah, arba'a dvorim potru b'machneh. Now this is not a machne like the shiara that we had until now. Rashi says we're talking about a machne hayoytzis lamulchama, just like this week's parsha begins. Kiseitze lamulchama al oivecha. So unfortunately there is a war going on, and you have Jewish people, soldiers, that are fighting in the war, and therefore they have to travel from place to place. And they have to encamp, even on Shabbos, and for that matter, during the week. What hetayim do we give these Jewish soldiers? So, says our Mishnah, they have four hetayim. Number one, meviim eitzim mikol mokay. What happens if they have to go and build a fire for themselves to keep them warm at night, or to cook, or for light? They can go and take eitzim from all of the properties wherever they happen to be. Under normal circumstances, this would lechayra be gezel, stealing somebody else's wood. The Chacham said they're allowed to do it because of the fact that they are at war and they have to have certain basic items. Uptur mechitzah tzedayim. When they go and eat bread, they do not have to wash for netilas yadayim. Umidmai. Normally, demai, you have to go and give mitzad sofik. You have to go and give another round of maestris. I say another round. Assuming that maestris were already given, you don't know. It was Amoritz, you got to give it again. No, when it comes to the military, they do not need to go and give maestris. We're going to rely on the fact that Roiv Amoritz Maastrin Hain Umal Arev. They're not going to have to go and make an Erev. We'll see in the Gemara if we're talking about an Eruve Chatzeirois or an Eruve Techumen. We'll see that in Yad Shem towards the end of the blood. Talking about Tanravan, we learned in the Braisa. Machna yoytis l'melchama, or l'mechemes ha-reshus, l'mechemes reshus ha-kos medaber, Rashi says at the beginning of the parasha, l'mechemes reshus ha-kos medaber. The mechemes mitzvahs were all the times of Yeshua ben Nun. Since Yeshua ben Nun's times, all the Mechamis subsequent to that were Mechamis Rishus, as they put Rashi. So what happens now? Mutarim Begezel Eitzim Yevashim. They can go and quote unquote steal Eitzim Yevashim, Eitzim that are already dried out. And Rashi says, V'kolshkein Lachim. Now what's Yevashim and Kolshkein Lachim? So we'll see Mechem in the Gemara shortly that there's a svarit to say that Yevashim are much more chomor than Lachim. Why? Because how did these Eitzim get dried out? Presumably, the owner of this property collected during the summer months a whole bunch of logs, made sure to put them in a dry place, in the sun, in storage, so that he'd be able to use them during the winter months. And this is for him, this is not only property, this is money. This is worth a lot to him to have the fuel to go and put into his fireplace, etc. The Eitzim Lachim, that means they're still moist. He didn't really have das to go and use these for firewood because they're really very inefficient for firewood, and therefore that's of lesser concern to him. Nevertheless, you're allowed to go and take these Eitzim Yevashim if you're in the military, no problem. Military can go and camp wherever they want. So if during the week they need to stay somewhere, they don't have to go home. They don't have to stay in the middle of the street, but they can go and go to Smith or to Jones or anybody's private property and stay there overnight and set up camp because they're in the middle of a war. If one of the soldiers passes away, then they have the right to go and bury them on the spot. Like the Gemara is going to say shortly, Meis mitzvah koina mekoina. We'll see Mitzvah in a moment. Good. So now, that was the Brice. The Gemara repeats part of the Brice. The Gemara asks Kashis. Mutar migezel eitzim yevashim. Freit the Gemara, hai takanta di Yeshua hava. You're telling me that this is a brand new takana that applies solely to the military. This is one of 10 takanas that Yeshua ben Nun made. The Omar, asor etanoim, hisni Yeshua. At the end of Masechtas Bava Kama, there's a list of 10 special tanoim that Yeshua made that he told Klal Yisrael, Amanas Kain, you're going to get Eretz Yisrael. You have to agree to these 10 basic rules and regulations. What are the 10? The Gemara only gives us here two of them. Number one is Shehu Marin B'Charshin. Charshin means a forest. Marin means from a Loshin Roya to graze, which means that Yeshua said that everybody in Klal Yisrael has a right to go and take their animals and graze in any forest that they can find, even if that forest belongs to Mr. Jones, Mr. Doe, Mr. McGillicuddy, Mr. Smith. You can always be Marin B'Charshin. You don't need to ask permission to graze your animals in somebody else. It doesn't say on farmland, but in a forest, no problem. And the Malachim Eitzim Yisrael Yisayim. If you find that on your neighbor's property, on his field, there are a bunch of loose pieces of wood, you could take that wood, you don't have to ask permission, it's all fine and dandy. Oh, so we see this is not a military thing. At any time you're allowed to go and take other people's wood. Evdimara, hasim behizmi behigi. Hizmi behigi means wood that comes from a thorn bush. Those are, even the Balabatim don't attach a lot of importance to it because they're probably difficult to handle because of all the thorns, and therefore if you want to take that wood, gizintahit, in fact the Balabas might be very happy that you're taking this wood off of his property. So that's what Yeshua was masakin, to you allowed to go and collect such inferior type of wood, his midhiki. Here in the Brisa, when we're talking about the military, we're talking about proper logs that you can use for a proper fire. That you normally cannot do. But in the case of military, a war, you're allowed to. Inami, hasim mechubarim, hacham betlushin. There, we were talking about that you can go and remove wood that is still attached to the tree, because nobody, Balabas, is not thinking about that wood for purposes of using for a fire. It's still moist. Hacham betlushin, over here, however, we're talking about that it's already tolish, that it's already uprooted from the ground. There, you could not normally not take it, because the Balabas is thinking about using that wood for firewood, but because in the military they can go and take it. It's a little bit difficult because you're saying Hasim Mechubarim. You're saying in the times of Yeshua ben Nun, the takana was that you're allowed to go and take other people's wood, which is still attached to the ground. And why is that? The Baal HaBos has a tree, and he wants that tree to grow and to flourish, particularly if he happens to be a fruit tree. And even if it's not a fruit tree, he wants to grow lumber for construction or whatever. How can you go and knock down the other guy's mechubra and say, well, it should have been permitted it. So last Toises asks his kasha, and Toises says that even according to this pshat, we're still talking about the hizmi v'higi. See, hosam mechubarim, v'hayshinu yinami ari v'hizmi v'higi, t'lo hiskin yoyeshua, l'hizmi v'higi yamechubarim. If you find your next door neighbor has a bunch of thorn bushes, nobody wants thorn bushes because they are dangerous. People pass by, they tear their pants, they tear their dress, they go and make cuts in their feet and their hands and this and that. So even if the mechubar says Yeshua ben Nun gizuntai, the other guy will probably not send you a bill, he'll probably send you a thank you card. But if he doesn't, it makes no difference, you have the right to go and take off his hizmi, the he, the mechubar. Here we're talking about Hocham Betlushin, even if they happen to be all cut, and therefore the Baal HaBos might want to use those for firewood, because it's easy to put on these thick workers' gloves, he'll pick them up and use it for firewood. If you're part of the military, you can go and take it without permission. There's no din of guess. Inami hasam balachan hacham yevashim, same as we explained already before, that when it comes to yevashim, that a person really has his mind on, he's concentrating, he wants to use that for firewood. Under normal circumstances, that you're not allowed to take away from your neighbor. However, if it's lachin, says Yeshua ben Nun, you can go and take it if it's still moist, because you're... And again, Toises says it's talking about, again, with the hizmi and the higi, that the Baal HaBos of your next door field, he is not interested in that hizmi higi, so if it's still moist, you can go and take it. If it's dry, don't take it, because he does want to use that for fire. However, if it's the military, Yevashim, they can go and take it, not a problem. Okay.
It seems that we've used hizmi v'higi sometimes as mechitzos to create partitions.
Correct.
If someone without permission goes and removes, then they're creating a dysfunctional, they're removing the functionality of an eruv or mechitzos for Shabbos. How can they do it without consulting with the Baal HaBos? If that person's relying on those thorn bushes to create his chatzer, to create his walls, so he can carry, and you're using it for firewood now, you're destroying his eruv, his mechitza.
I'm assuming that we're not talking about a hizmi v'higi that is being used for eruvin or for lines of demarcation to show the border and the boundary between one property and the other. These just happen to be quote-unquote hefkedika thorn bushes that happen to be on his property, haphazardly somewhere in the middle or in the corner or whatever, which have no real functionality or utility, said Yeshua ben Nun. In such cases, you can go and relieve that person of the unwanted thorns, and it's not a problem. But Einachanami, if they're being used, as you say, for a wall, don't go and remove those bushes and remove the walls, then the owner is going to be very, very angry here. They have the functionality. But I'm assuming that that's what would be more different. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Oimer, we had in the Brisa before, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema says, Afchoni b'chol mokem, you can also encamp wherever you want during the war. U'mokem shenergon, shom nikbarim, chas v'shom, where anybody passes away, you can go and be koyver them on the spot. Feitim or pshita, meis mitzvah. U'meis mitzvah koyne mekoymoi, everybody knows a famous halacha, that unfortunately, wherever a meis passes away, he's koyne his mokem. You don't have to transfer him to a cemetery, wherever he is, if it's a meis mitzvah. Meis mitzvah, koyne mekoyne. Rashi says that this is also one of the ten tanoim of Yeshua ben Nun, so this is not a military thing, this is just a general rule and regulation. Our situation is talking about where there was no meis mitzvah status, because in fact he had yorshim, he had people that would go and bury this individual. Tisanya, how do you define the words meis mitzvah? Ezo meis mitzvah kosha ein loy koivrin, a person that nobody's interested in burying him. For instance, he's koire v'achirim oin oisoi ein ze meis mitzvah. But if Koyrin and nobody answers, then it is a meis mitzvah. Somebody, Nebuch, is lying there in the street. He's still screaming and he's saying, please, somebody help me. Nobody comes to help him. Or he's already dead. And a passerby says, somebody help me to go and bury this dead person. Nobody comes to help. Then that's called a meis mitzvah. So our Gemara is saying, even in this case where we know that the person who passed away has an extensive family that would certainly be willing to go and take the remains and bury them wherever. Special rule of military, we don't have to start looking for family members. You go and bury the person wherever he passed away. Is that really true? Vatanya, I'll show you from a braisa that it's not true. Hamuitzi mes mutl bisratio. What happens if Nebuchadnezzar, a person passed away in the middle of the street? And he's mutl bisratio means that he's lying there and the cars and the foot traffic cannot really pass because Nebuchadnezzar has this body there. So, Mifaneu, you can go and pick the body up. Don't leave it there in the middle of the street. Mifaneu, the minisracha, or the smadisracha, and bury it either to the right of the street or to the left of the street. And if on the right and on the left you have a sodebur, a sodden near, one side of the street happens to be an empty fallow field, another one happens to be near, the other one happens to be a plowed field, Mifaneu, the sodebur, then go and bury the body in a sodebur, because then you're not harming the individual that already went and plowed the field. So rather put in a sudden board. If it's a sudden nib, a sudden zera, one side is plowed and the other one is actual growing crops already, but for now the sudden ear, put into the sudden ear. We try to go and do the least damages possible to the nearby farms. How you stay in nirois, stay in zroyos, stay in burois? What happens if on both sides of the esratia, both of them happen to be fields which are plowed, fields which are planted, fields which are fallow. So then you just do eeny, meeny, miny, mo, whichever one you want, the right or the left. But what do I see from this? I see that it's not koin makoimai, but in fact there is leeway to go and move the body to the right or to the left. That certainly doesn't sound like koin makoimai. What Rabibi says is if a person passed away in the middle of a field, he's kind of mekayimay wherever it happens to be. However, if he's on the meitzah, now meitzah normally means a boundary or a border. However, Rashi teaches the word meitzah to mean the middle of the street. If you look at Rashi, the third line, b'meis mutal al meitzah, top of the omen, third line, shemushkiv. This body, Nebuch, is from end to end. He occupies the full six-lane highway. Well, most bodies are not that tall. But if it's a one-laner, unfortunately, the body is lying there from beginning to end, from one side to the other. In Mitosh and Nisra Shishla Fanoisai, you have the right to go move the body, but Nekwe Hanem Va'oisa Taharos. If you're going to leave the body there or bury it on the spot, nobody will be able to use his street anymore because the Kadam can't use it and all the Chaverim, the Oisit Taharis, won't be able to use it because they're Shloyahil Olam. They shouldn't be mile on the mess. So this is, if you will, a slight modification of the rule that Meis Mitzvah Koinem Mekoimai. It's taka true, but in the case where it causes that Tzoras Harabim, that the body Nebuch is spread out over the Rishus HaRabim, that you can't, there won't be any more traffic over there because of Kahanim, etc., then you do have the right to move it, but not move it to Australia. You have the right to move it to the other side of the street, to the right, to the left, to the sidewalk, where people are not walking or going into fields, etc. Okay. Back to our Mishnah. It says one of the takonas they made for the military, Petuim Yerchitzis Yedai. Om Rabbi Lishon Almi Yemayim Rishonim. That they don't have to wash their hands before they begin to eat bread. Of my machroinim at the end of the meal, that they have to wash their hands. Choyva, my machroinim is a choyva. Now, why is my machroinim a choyva? Om Rabchi Barashim, and name my oma my machroinim choyva, neshem melech sedoimis yeshem mesamis enai. Because in salt, a small percentage of salt is melech sedoimis, and melech sedoimis is very, very dangerous. That if chas v'sholom, if a person has melech sedoimis on his fingertips, and then after that he wipes his eyes, if any of that melech gets into the person's eyes, chuli that the person could be blinded. Now, melech sedoimis is not very prevalent in society. So, Amar Rabbi, even it mishtakcha bekurta bekura. What does that mean? Kikurta bekura. A koir is a huge quantity that 30 so'ah. In terms of how many bayim that is, that's equal to 4,320 eggs. That's the sheer dimensions of a the volume of a kor. In that kor, you would normally find a kort. Kort is a very small amount. Think of a teaspoonful of this melach sedaimis. So, although it is a very small percentage of all melach that is circulating in society, but there is that small amount. So, when I was eating, maybe some of that melach sedaimis got into my fingertips and under my nails, etc. So, make sure you wash your fingers to get off any of that melach. What happens if a person wasn't eating, but he was just measuring out salt? He was dispensing salt for different people, and he was measuring it, a cup here, a pitcher there, a container there. What's the story now? Does he have to go and wash his hands? Rashi says, there's nothing to talk about. Of course you have to wash your hands. Here in the case of the eating, what's the likelihood that pinky your fingers touched the melach sedaimis, which is a quart in a kura? It's a very, very small percentage. However, if a person is measuring out salt, so presumably he's dealing with larger quantities of salt, a much greater opportunity for him to get some of that quart of the melach sedaimis in his fingers, so vadi, you make sure to go and wash. The question is, do we have to wash mayim achroinim today? So if you look at the top Tosfos, he says, "Achshav le'nogu b'mayim achroinim." Today, people, not everybody has that custom mayim achroinim. They melach sedaimis motzi b'neinu. In our communities, we don't normally come across melach sedaimis. In Amud Afish Eino Nurigilim, the tab of Etzvoi Seinim Melech Achar Achila. The Gemara Masechtas Bracha says that it's nourishing for the body that after you finish eating, to go and take a little bit of salt and throw it down your throat and eat that, and that's kind of a good, either it's a laxative or whatever, it's good for the digestion, do that. So people used to go and take the melech with their fingers and throw it into the mouth. And therefore, that's not the custom today. Why don't we have that custom today? It says, because virtually all of our foods have a certain amount of salt in them, so that has the same functionality as taking the melech at the end of the meal. You took melech throughout the meal. Anyway, that's why a lot of people today are not makbid of mayim achroinim, but you still have people that are makbid based on the original Gemara that one should be makbid of mayim achroinim. So that's why they've developed, if you will, two minhagim in Klal Yisrael, those that are makbid of mayim achroinim and those that are not.
Because of the film that's on a person's fingers,
mm-hmm.
The other reason I believe brought down, and that still applies.
That still applies, except that many people today use napkins and use tissues or towels, in addition to the fact that most people, certainly not all people, but most people today use forks and knives and spoons, and so therefore hopefully their fingers do not have that much zuama as they had in the good old days. But you're right, that's why there are people that are machbid on the mayim achroinim for the zuama, for the melach sedaimis, etc. And they don't have to be makbid on again being mafresh maestres from demai. Says more demai. We learned in the Mishnah. Machines of niyam demai v'yesach sanya demai. Even though the chachamim were misakin that you and I and all of us, if we bought demai from amoritz, we have to be mafresh maestres. But since roiv amoritz maasrin hain, there are certain coolness. So if you have an oni that's coming to town, you don't have to go and be mafresh a second time and then give him the chulin, but rather you can give him demai and let him eat the demai. We'll rely on the roiv. Same thing, achsanya. Achsanya doesn't mean here a host. Achsanya means that you're a host for soldiers. If soldiers come to town, you can give them and serve them demai, which is consistent with our mission that says you can give them demai. Amar Rav Huna, Tana Beishamai, Tana, we learned in the Brayis, Beishamai Omrim, Ein Machilas Aniyim Demai, V'yes Achsanya Demai. So what Rav Huna is bringing is that Beishamai in fact disagreed and says you cannot give the Aniyim or Achsanya Demai. Beisil Omrim Machilas Aniyim Demai, V'yes Achsanya Demai, we follow Beisil that you can serve the Aniyim or the Achsanya Demai. Finally, it says in Mishnah that another heter for the military was Umal Ar, they don't have to make an Eruv. It's Ami Devei Rav Yanai, Loishon Al Eruv Echatzeres. In other words, if you have all of these houses or of the people that are in the tents that are all encamped on Shabbos because of the military situation, and they didn't make an Eruv Chatzeros, and Yankel wants to carry into Beryl's tent, or Beryl wants to carry into Yankel's tent, or they want to go and make a public Kiddush in between all the tents Shabbos morning? Are they allowed to go and carry? They didn't make an Erev. The Chacham says you don't have to make an Erev under those circumstances. Because the whole din of Eruv Chatzer is to be able to carry. It's really from Rishus Yochid to Rishus Yochid. We're not talking Rishus Yochid to Rishus Rav, Rishus Rav, Rishus Yochid. These camps, the maximum we're talking about is a Carmelist and a Rishus Yochid. We're not talking about to go and carry. It's Midrabanan. So Midrabanan the Chumum were Mekel in the case of the military. They don't have to do Eruv Chatzer. Eruv Tchumen Chayavim, but they do have to do Eruv Tchumen. So if they want to be able to go and travel another 2,000 Amos in any given direction, then they have to make an Eruv Tchumen. Obviously, if they're in a war and they have to flee after the enemy or flee from the enemy, Cholila, Avada, we're talking that's Pikuch Nefesh. But we're talking about if they're not in a Pikuch Nefesh situation, then they're not allowed to walk the extra 2,000 Amis in a particular direction unless they made the Eruv Tchum. Tony Rabchia, like an Eruv Tchum and Dvar Teira. Eruv Chatzer is not a Eruv Tchum, unlike Eruv Chatzer is not Rabbanon, it's Minat Teira. Toises quickly points out, that's the long Toises over here for homework, that L'choyer, this goes only according to Rebbe Kiva, because the Chachamim hold that Eruv Tchumen is also Midraban. It's Rebbe Kiva that holds that the din of Eruv Tchumen is the Araisa, and then the Mefarshim bring a Yerushalmi that says that the whole Machloikif is only the Gabi, the 2,000 Amos. But Kuli Alma Moida, if you wanted to go beyond 12 mil on Shabbos, that certainly you would be required to go and make Eruv Tchumen Minatay. That's Yerushalmi. Whether the Bavli agrees to that or not, that is already a major discussion in the Mefarshim. Okay, but our Gemara is going with the thought that Eruv Tchumen is Dvar Torah. Since it's Dvar Torah, the military needs to make such an Erev that they want to go and travel an extra 2,000 Amos in a particular direction. Frank Dimar, how did Rabbi say Loiken al Eruv Tchumen? You get Malkis, Maskel Rabbi Oynesen, Vchi Loiken alav Shebi. How? Just because the Torah says Al, you get Malkis. What does the Gemara mean to say? The Gemara means to say is that if a Pasuk says Loi, like Loi Tignoi, Loi Tignoi Vu, Loi Tinov, Loi Tirtzach, with a Loi, that's certainly a lot. There's nothing to talk about. Loi Sasa Kol Malocha, Loi Savoid, don't go and Loi Sishtachveh Lehem Veloi Saavdeng. The word Loi is clearly no, no, no. I will not let them go. There's no question about it that is an Isser Lav and Chas V'Shalom. If you ignore Hasra, you get Malkis or you get Misa, depending on the Lav. However, when the Torah uses the expression Al, the Gemara believes in the Hava Mina that Al doesn't have that same severity as the word Loi. And here, in the case of Eruv Tchumen, says Rashi, the Makod is Al Yetzi Ishmim Koimai B'Yoyim HaShabbos. Don't go beyond your Makod. If you go beyond your Makod, you're violating the Hilchos Tchumen. So the Gemara is saying is that the Din of Tchumen is based on Av. So the Gemara has a Havamina, and the Gemara says, Maskif Lo Rav Yonis V'chi Loiken Al Lav Shevi Al. You don't give Malkis on an Al, only on a Loi. And I'm sure some of you are thinking to yourselves, what difference does it make, Al or Loi? Both of them means don't do it. Al Yetz Ishvam Koimai. Al sounds just like Loi. And in fact, it's the same Oisius, just in reverse. So, what's the difference? So, there's a beautiful Meshech Chachma, that the Meshech Chachma says that Al might be thought of as not being a mandatory Lav, but rather as a request. Why would I say it's a request? Because he says you find the word Al in the Torah often combined with the word No. Please, I'm asking you nicely. Not that it's mandatory. You don't have to wear a mask when you're walking down the street and you have 100 amis of open space around you. But I ask you nicely, please wear the mask anyway. That would be a good thing to do. Okay, so that Al, where do we have the Al with the No? You have, for instance, the parashas Vayera, where you had the Anshei Sodom, Roim v'Chatoim, and they wanted to go and take the Orchim of Loit and live with them at night. Vayoymar, Al No, Achai Tereyu, Al, please don't do that. So you have a case of Al. More recently, in parashas Bal Voischa, you have again two times Al. What were the two times Al? unfortunately, Miriam had spoken poorly about Moshe Rabbeinu to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayomer Aharon el Moshe, Bi Adoni, Al no, Sosha Solenu Chatos, Asher Al no, Asher Chatonu. Al no, Sihi Kameis, Asher Betzesim Rechem Imai. So notice that the Al is coupled with no. Now it's true that the Al that we have over here, Al Yetz Ish Mekayim, it doesn't say Al no Yetz Ish Mekayim, but says, Vemeal Shilche, the Meshech Chachma. Since I often find Al in Tanakh coupled with the word no, it has more of a nice, firm request feeling as opposed to an absolute love. And that was the basis there for Rabbi Yonison's question. If it would say, Lo yetz ishmem koimoi, sure. But al yetz ishmem koimoi means, please, stay put, don't start wandering around on Shabbos. And therefore, why would you give Malkis? As Maskev Rabbi Yankev says, I reject that, because El Miyata Dechsim, it says, Al tifnu ela oivis vela yidoinim, don't go and look after what the oivin yidoini are doing, that they're doing their different types of sorcery. Al tavakshu letom of ahem. Are you going to tell me, Hachanami d'loy loki? If a person engages in oivi yidoini, that's different types of sorcery. Are you going to tell me that he doesn't get Malkus just because it says al instead of loy? Our Gemara says, Hachanam d'loy loki. You may be right that it would be Misa, but the Lashon of Gemara is... Okay, fine, that's good too. But anyway, the bottom line is, so you see that the word al and the word loy are really synonymous. It was a nice try. You said, yeah, al mit al no, beautiful. Ablamaisa, there are other isurim which clearly are Machayim Malkis, and it just says al. Are you going to go and tell me that there's no din of Malkis? He didn't mean focusing on the text, the word al. He meant the lav shemidlas oiv. He says bezin. What does that mean? Because the Gemara holds at this point that Rabbi Yonison holds that the din of al yetz ishmam koymai is really not basically telling us or primarily telling us the din of tchumin. It's primarily telling us the din of hoitzaa b'shabbes. And the word al yetz is like the word al yoytzi. Don't carry anything on Shabbos from Rishus Ram to Rishus Yochanan, Rishus Yochanan to Rishus Ram. Or like Tosis says, Al Yetz Ishm Koimoi with Kalim and things in his hands. Al Yetz Mishabbos in Kalov Lilkoit Es Hamon Kedar Sha'oisim B'chayr. The Pasuk is telling us, throughout the week you want to collect the mon, so you went and took your pots and pans and your containers. No, don't do that on Shabbos, but rather go and don't Al Yetz Ishm Koimoi, don't go to collect the mon because of the carrying Isur. Ah, so therefore, the Al Yetz Ishmael, what happens if a person is Oiver on Hilchoyz Hoytza? It's one of the Lamed Tes Malachas. And Chas Hashon, the person gets Misa. So, therefore, the Al Yetz Ishmael Koimai is a Lav Nitin Las Horez Mises Bezdin. V'chalav Shenit Las Horez Mises Bezdin ain't like an Olav. Rashi says, if you have a Lav that normally is Machayev Misa Bezdin, even if you give a hasra lemalkus, where you tell the fellow, don't do this, otherwise you're going to get malkus. It doesn't work, because since this pasuk is talking specifically about as hard as Mises Bezdin, you cannot include within it an as hard as lemalkus. So then, why would you even have a habamin of getting malkus? How did Reb Chiya say in the Braisa, Loikin al Eruv Tchumen, Eruv Tchumen Lachar is based on this Al Yetz Ishmam Koimai? Al Yetz Ishmam Koimai is a lav, Shinitala, Horus, Mises, Bezin, in the case of carrying. Om Ravashi Miksev Al Yoitzi, Al Yetz Iksev. This pasuk is not referring to Hilchais Haitzah. It's only referring to Hilchais Tchumen. No, if it's not referring to Hilchais Haitzah, then your whole kasha falls away. The Gemara assumed that Al Yetze has a double purpose. Number one, Haitzah, that's Mises Bezdin. And number two, Tchumen. So you go, no. Al Yetze has nothing to do with carrying, so don't get carried away. So you're wondering, so then how do I taka know the Isser of carrying? So you remember from the beginning of the Masechta Shabbos, Daf Beis, the Rashi had another Mekor. It says in the Pasuk, yes?
Nachman? You call the Machmeh.
Oh, Beautiful. Says Rashi, quoting Brother Shai, it says in the Pasuk, Vayitzav Moshe Vayaviru Kol B'machna Leymar Isha Isha Al Tavi Oy Melacha L'Srumas HaKadosh. People should not bring any more donations. And the Gemara explains, where did they bring the donations from? From their own private homes, or their private fields, or their front yard, backyard. They brought it to the Mishkan, to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was in a Rishus Rabbim, everybody, all 600,000 people came to Moshe Rabbeinu from time to time. They're taking it from their homes. Rishus Yochum, Rishus Rabbim, that's the Makor for carrying by Avir Koba Machanema, Isha Isha, Isha Isha. Anyway, so the point is, we don't learn the din of carrying from Al Yetze. Al Yetze is strictly a din for Tchumen, and so therefore, says Reb Chia, if a person is over on this Al Yetze, he gets Malkis. But again, it's only according to Reb Akiva, because the Rabbanan respectfully disagree, and they hold the din of Tchumen is Midrabbanan. Hamlach Mavi, Hamlach Mavi, Hamlach Mavi, Ois and Pasal Viroi, Sabod Yumnan, Nir and Kishmoyne, the Rabbi Yehuda, to be continued tomorrow. Any further questions, Rabbi Isai? Hearing none, Amiyat Hashem, will continue tomorrow morning, 8:05. Thank you all for attending, and thank you for your active participation.
In modern Hebrew, when you use Al, it's used in the future.